Seward. Hey, everybody, this is Adam Seward, and you're listening to Awaken Life. It's still eternity, and you are still the Holy One of Being, but it's just another Monday. So welcome back. We're really glad to have you with us. So again, I'm, as always, joined in the studio with Rick Seward, my father and my co-host, Riding Shotgun. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Adam. Great to be here.
Great to have you with us. And Eric's back from vacation, which you probably already heard that at some point today, but it's good to see you, Eric.
Hey, good to be back. Good to see you guys.
Did you have a good time?
Had a great time, yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Good to see your face. And then also today, we've got our guest in from last week. He's agreed to come back and talk to us again because he was such a hit and all the listeners were so psyched about this guy, Paul DeFuria, right here with us today.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Paul.
Welcome back, Paul. You just couldn't stay away.
I was in the neighborhood.
Oh, well, it's so good to have you. Let me give you a rundown again of what the show is going to be talking about today. It's, again, we've really lined up a special show for you, and there may even be a surprise, very, very special guest, extremely special to all of us, and we'll see if that works out, but we're hoping he's going to come on in the second half hour here. Let me just tell you what the show is about today. Essentially, we're talking about teachers today. Maybe you use the word guru, maybe you use the word master, but essentially, we're talking about teachers. And if you're wondering if that's a hint into who our guest may be later in the show, you're right. One of the practices for myself that has helped to bring me into an awakened state of consciousness and an awakened life, essentially, has been to find a teacher and to devote myself to that teacher and to essentially just work to embody the same realization, the same depth of presence and enlightenment that that teacher embodied for me. And my journey of guru yoga or bhakti yoga, which means devotional practice, started when I was 8 years old. That was when I first sat with the person that I consider to be my primary teacher. And essentially, that was when I first received the transmission. So, and for those of you who don't know what transmission is, that's a that's when consciousness is actually communicated directly, you could say. That awareness is actually communicated directly from teacher to student, and it's really it's an awareness that's beyond the words that are being used. It's Paul, what would you, I mean, could you say anything?
Yeah, well, it's an energetic transmission.
Yes.
That's the idea. So the teacher is reflecting back to your true nature, as it were.
Yeah. So they're reflecting back to you in a way that it's just a direct energetic communication, you could say.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And Paul, you as well have had teachers in your life that have, I mean, I think when we talked today and I told you, you know, we're going to be talking about teachers, there was probably a couple people I'm thinking that came to mind immediately that you felt you would talk about.
Oh, absolutely. My first teachers were really books and authors and that kind of thing. So mm-hmm. Alan Watts was one of my first teachers. He was a Zen guy.
Mm-hmm.
And now what with the advent of great audio video on the internet, some of my other teachers who would just show up like Ken Wilber on video, mm-hmm. and you could hear them talk and explore their work through just how they record.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a real depth of understanding through them, but yet I was still seeking,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, I met somebody. I was actually dating someone and she went to see him and then they had a chat and he was like, you should bring your boyfriend next time because he knew what was in store for me. We broke up and then she left and I stayed. But it's sort of, you know, it's similar to love at first sight, really, mm-hmm. in a spiritual sense, because mm-hmm. you just know it's when you've met that person. Mm-hmm. Who, and you know, it's just, you know, that in my case, I knew they were just more awake than I was. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Because I've come as far as I can take myself, right?
Sure.
And so it's almost, you know, they say the student finds a teacher.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or when the student's ready, the teacher appears.
That's really exactly how it's a matter of an attraction. You're just like, I'm ready for what's next, and so sure enough, I showed up at his office and it was on.
Yes.
And you know, it's just invaluable to have that.
Well, a pure reflection. I mean, if you're wanting to learn about who you are, what better teacher is there than a pure reflection?
Right. They're giving you an undistorted mirror, essentially putting up an undistorted mirror. They're allowing you to see your true self.
Right. Which is one thing my teacher would always say, because, you know, there's this tendency that I think each of us have to pedestalize our teachers.
Yes.
You know, it's like, well, we like to look at them and say, you're better than me, or you're more than me. And always for a true teacher, the message is, no, I'm your reflection. All that you see in me is essentially yourself. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to see it because you'd have no reference point.
That's right. Yeah, there will be that time when you find your final teacher, and then the search is over. And that final teacher, right, the teacher is actually going to take you to the mirror and say, there's your guru right there.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at you know, so when you can, and there's that person who will help you hear that, and you go, you know what, you're right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then the pedestal, there's no pedestals. Just light.
Sort of falls
just
out.
Just love, that's it.
Right, right, right.
No better than or less than. Yeah. Because up until that point, there's a separate identity that's always comparing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, I could be better, I should be better, there's something missing, I need to do this or that, right? There's always an agenda. Mm-hmm. And your real true teacher allows you to drop your agenda entirely.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that's left is love, you know, and that's what you're giving your life to.
Yeah, that, you know, that's the one thing that I've always, it seemed, well, thanks to the teacher that I met when I was 8 years old, that essentially just, you know, gave me this direct transmission. One of the things I knew about from that was that essentially the message was love. That what, you know, whatever learning is being done, whatever, teaching that's coming through, the essence of it is love. And
what a good teacher will do, and you remember we were talking about transmission.
Yeah.
They're really transmitting is silence, right? So when you'll have a direct experience of silence that you might not be able to get sitting in meditation for years or doing all kinds of different practice, mm-hmm. just sitting in their presence, and then you'll have that direct experience of silence.
Yeah.
And you can learn about the importance of it, understand it conceptually, read all about it. But until you actually have it, oh, there it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, now I have a real reference point. I can expand that.
I remember one of the early experiences that I had with my teacher was sitting down and saying something and then expecting sort of it's almost like I had trained people to react in a certain way when I would do something energetically, and it's really subtle. You know, I didn't know I was doing it. But I said something and then he just looked at me like stone. He just didn't move, and it was like, you know, so you're talking about silence, but that's also stillness, right? He just didn't move. He wasn't going to be moved by me, in other words, you know, because he was so grounded in that realization and aware that really he was there to teach me, not me there to necessarily teach him. Although it there's also the experience of one teacher that's coming through both of us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which, you know, like you said, like we talked about last week, it's God who speaks and God who listens.
Well, that's, you know, that distinguishes the teacher from your friend. Although in my case, I became best friends with my teacher, right? But,
sure.
You know, a lot of times your friends are just the ones that buy your stories,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, as long as you create a conspiracy of, okay, I'll tell my drama story and you tell yours and we'll bond about it. You
sure.
know? Well, a real teacher will go, no. We're going to move beyond this.
Yeah.
And you can be a real charmer, and it can be a real, you know, you can be great in trying to do it. But then you realize who's earlier in awareness. And what I mean by that is someone who's not moved by any of it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's untouched. They just leave it. Say, let's get back to what's real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Dad, I mean, obviously this resonates for you. We've talked about this numerous times.
Oh, yeah.
And you and I actually happen to share an affinity for a similar teacher or the same teacher.
Yeah, yeah. I'm hoping we get that call for the second half of the show. This is really, this is exciting. This will be really fun.
Yeah, Yeah.
For me,
what a surprise that will be. Who knows?
It'll be
right?
So much fun if he does call. Let's cross our fingers, guys.
I know, right?
No, here we. For me, we have to go way back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm an older guy. surrounded by these young single guys. But we have to go back, I'm thinking 1990, mm-hmm. so 21 years ago, and you were about eight years old.
Yeah, right around the time I met my teacher.
And, my teacher basically told me, he gave me one assignment that actually made me melt into tears. And that assignment was I had to write a letter to my fantasy father.
Saying goodbye, right?
Saying goodbye
yeah.
to my fantasy father.
Hmm.
And I just the thought of doing that, I just melted.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I knew I was in the right chair at the right time,
mm-hmm.
in front of the right teacher.
Mm-hmm. The student was ready and the teacher appeared.
Oh, very much so.
And so your father crossed over when you were young, yeah?
He died when I was 11. And so I went through this journey of learning about myself. And what I learned was is that I was really, because I failed to fully mourn the death of my father at that very young, vulnerable age, I never really got past that.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea was that you created a story about your dad that was a fantasy story, as it were, and then yeah. you were writing to that.
Yeah, so yeah. I had this image of my dad that was a fantasy dad, and I never really faced the fact that I had this huge void that had occurred.
You hadn't really grieved the loss,
and I hadn't grieved it. Oh, you know, the doctor would give us pills back then, tranquilizers to help us get through the loss.
Yeah.
But not to help us deal with it.
Yeah, more deadened the pain.
Yeah, so everything was just buried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, and interestingly, you and I, right, that yeah. there's one teacher that we're, you know, certainly honored and privileged to talk about who actually we're going to be introducing to you in halfway through the show. I've got yes. confirmation on that now. So,
oh, yes.
So nice. Anyway, we're about ready to go to our first commercial. You're listening to Awaken Life here on Transformation Talk Radio.
Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by.
Are you upside down on your home loan and facing foreclosure? Washington's Foreclosure Fairness Act takes effect on July 13th and requires your mortgage holder to grant you a face-to-face meeting to negotiate modifications to your loan that may let you keep your house. More than 5,600 homes were seized in the first 3 months of this year in the state of Washington. Don't let this happen to you. Visit foreclosurefairness.net. That's foreclosurefairness.net. Or call 206-818-9732, your home safety net.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off traditional talk radio. Get ready for powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in, and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Listen to the Dr. Pat Show Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon on AM 1150, KKNW, and visit thedrpatshow.com.
Their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams. The one they picked, the one you know by.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Adam Seward again. You're listening to Awaken Life here on KKNW 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio. We're talking about teachers today, the impact that a teacher has on the spiritual journey. And part of the reason we're talking about that is because today we're having a special guest, someone who has been a teacher of mine since I was 8 years old. I'll never forget, actually, the first time that I met him. He's a counselor, interestingly enough, and just like myself. And when I first met him, I was 8 years old. My parents had taken me to see him because In their words, they thought I was full of piss and vinegar. Hopefully I can say that on the radio. Eric's nodding yes, that word's okay. Okay. But they thought I was full of piss and vinegar in the sense I wouldn't take instruction, you know. They'd ask me to do something and
he was a problem.
Remember, there is no problem.
Oh, that's
Dan.
Right.
There are no problems. But you know, maybe I'd like to think that I was spirited. They took me to this teacher, and it was interesting because I now believe that this meeting was probably preordained before I was even born, just because of the impact this teacher has had on my life and the closeness that we've shared over the years. But he leaned over during the session and he just looked at me and he goes, "I sure do like you, Adam." And that's one thing to say to a young kid, but it's something else when you are speaking it from a deep, energetic, felt meaning. And essentially, there was a transmission that occurred right in that moment, as we were talking about before the break. And I knew it was genuine. I knew it was coming from a deep, deep place and a place that I could trust and a place ultimately that was calling me into my highest potential into the highest expression of who I truly am. And so when I walked out of his office that day, I thought, you know, if that's what counseling is, then that's what I want to do. And 20 years later, a little more than 20 years later, I'm sharing an office basically with this counselor. There's a number of offices, but there's a suite and we all share that space. And, you know, for a large percentage of that time, this was my, this was my image of God in human form that I used, you know, to tune myself to that vibration, essentially. It was my mirror. And so a lot of the time when I'm, you know, when I'm recalling something or I'm teaching something or I'm speaking, I am thinking of my teacher. And a lot of the time I'm led to give him, you know, it's a devotional practice. So in a sense, it's like in a devotional way, I could say that I don't think Awakened Life would exist today if it wasn't for him. I don't think I'd be sitting here. So
it's hard for people to do the devotional piece in the West.
Mm-hmm, right.
So in Hindu practice, they call it a bhakti practice. And it's actually the one most people do, which is they find someone and they do a devotional practice to him or her. And it's more challenging than the West for a lot of different reasons. You know,
yes.
We're independent and all the rest.
Right,
and there's
right.
questions of trust. But the reason why more people do it is it's easier, right? Mm-hmm. They just got to be you to use a lot of discernment when you find that teacher. Make sure mm-hmm. it's a teacher that's looking out for you. It's yeah. looking really out for what's the highest for, and you obviously found one.
Yeah, and you know, and it felt like he found me, or we found each other. You know, it was preordained. It was. It feels like these connections are continually being made really to serve the one purpose that the show is serving and that we're all talking about, which is the upliftment of, you know, human consciousness.
Yeah. If you don't have a teacher, it's good to start to find one or have one find you.
Yeah, sure.
Because anyone, even in the top of their profession, has a coach.
Right.
You know, there's some piece of it. It means there's something wrong with me. But no, you're actually finding someone who, when you can't hold that highest vision of themselves, yourself, they mm-hmm. can. They see it really clearly.
Yeah.
And then you get in the habit of doing that, and then you can become that person for someone else. It's, you know, that's what's key.
Yeah. The Course in Miracles, which is one of my, really my chosen path as of late in terms of practice and so on, which I was ultimately directed to by my teacher, who you'll be meeting soon. It says that teaching and learning are essentially the same thing. So everything you teach, you learn. Everything you learn, you teach. And you're always teaching. That's the other thing that it says. And so some of you may know that the course starts out with, you know, about 650 pages of text and then goes through a workbook that's 365 lessons to be done one per day over the course of a year. And then there's the manual for teachers. So once you've gone through that, essentially the universe, you could say, or the course is calling you to be a teacher, to step out as a teacher. So lineage, which in a sense, you know, in Zen, they would call that a lineage, right, Paul?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And, you know, that they'll ask you to play it forward, you know. And when you're bowing to them, essentially, your love offering to them is really them allowing, you're really bowing to yourself. That's why it's not really an issue. For a lot of people, their ego gets in the way, right? And there's a control issue. Boy, I don't know if I can trust to let go in that way. When you fall in love with a teacher or counselor or mentor or coach, your girlfriend, right? Always, who's teaching you the most, right? Right?
Right.
Then it is really like that. You're not really giving, you're not looking to get your own needs met. Or even the two of your, it's not about the cult of two either. Mm-mm. It's serving something higher. Mm. Like energetically, there's a, your partnership's creating an, its other being, as it were, which is serving the world in its own way, right?
Absolutely.
And then it becomes really clear through our interconnections how some love offering I give to you or to you, you share it with him, he gives it to me. This is happening all the time.
Yeah.
Makes it easy. I mean, this is really the teaching. It doesn't have to be hard.
No.
You know, when you stop the search, then the struggle's done, you know, and then it becomes a game of appreciation.
Yeah, going back to Zen, too, they have a kind of an interesting system where there's a transmission, essentially, that's given from teacher to student. And then there's a test to see if the student has really received that transmission. And they call their test koans, you know, spelled K-O-A-N. But it's essentially, it's a question that the teacher asks the student to test the level of consciousness,
right,
that he's received. So, for example, you know, you might, the teacher might say, you know, without moving, go to New York. The student might, you know, make a confused look and sort of say, I can't go to New York, at which point he might get hit with a stick because obviously that's not the right answer. The question's designed to take you out beyond your conceptual mind. Just the answer to that one being, I'm already there.
Actually, any answer that you think is the answer, they're going to whack you with a stick.
You know, if you think it's the answer, you're wrong, right?
That's right. You're clearing the mind of conscious thinking. So what's all that's left is emptiness. Yeah. But if you just sit there silently thinking that's the answer, you're still going to get the whack of the stick because there's nothing. It really is just the experience of it. And when you're in it, you can feel it and then no stick. Yeah. That's just, that's the confirmation that, you know, you're ready.
Yes.
To pass that message out and be a spokesperson for the ever-present, really, really good one. Your own personal agendas aren't getting confused, and you're able to spread it without, you know, that kind of personal agenda.
Yeah. Well, you know, the emotion I think that comes up for me, too, the most for the teacher, you know, that I've been talking about today as well, and you can probably tell in my voice, I mean, I feel like I can hear it, it's just gratitude.
Yes.
You know, so... because there is this sense like the universe has given you this person just to make sure that you get where you need to go, you know, that it wasn't an accident. It's like, here, this isn't, like you said, it's not meant to be hard. It's, there's, the help is available if you're willing to receive it. And I would say that's true for everyone, that that if they haven't met their teacher in a sense is just waiting for them to receive that, you know.
They're waiting for the moment when you're ready. When you're ready to drop the story.
The exact moment.
Exactly.
Right.
Enough struggle. You've been going through it. You've tried every different way through trial and error to get it. And you've finally gone, okay, I'm really ready.
Yeah.
And then there, because if they tell it to you, really, you won't hear it. And there's a, then there's some effort involved.
Yeah. It's like the, your teacher is the one who sees you the most clearly. You know, there's a sense that they know who you are deeply, you know, just as they know who they are, they know who you are.
Yeah.
And they don't, they'll never treat you as if you're any less than that, because they can see you essentially. Right. So the question, are you ready to be seen? Are you ready to be found out in a sense for, you know, the truth of who you are? And actually that, you know, we talked about, it's a difficult confession. We talked about that last week, and it really is, because essentially, again, you are admitting that you know, that your light and your greatness, which, well, you know, Marianne Williamson will say, you know, that in her famous quote, that it's actually our light that scares us more than our darkness. It's revealing the truth of who we are that's scary. But, you know, obviously playing small doesn't serve you or the world. So again, you know, another role that these teachers play in our lives is to see us in our greatness and to, in a sense, hold us accountable to that greatness. And this, and let me just give you a little glimpse of what the Course in Miracles has to say about that greatness. We talked last week about the idea that we're being imagined, right? Remember, Paul, you said that? So this is what the Course in Miracles has to say about how we're being imagined. But it's saying the thought of God. It says, the thought of God holds of you is like a star. The thought God holds of you is like a star, unchangeable in an eternal sky. So high in heaven it is set that those outside of heaven know not it is there, yet still and white and lovely with it shine through all eternity. There was no time it was not there, no instant when its light grew dimmer or less perfect. So if you're just curious how God holds you, that's the answer. Like a star so high in heaven in an eternal sky. How about that?
It's beautiful.
Nice.
That's everything. Yeah. Consciousness as light.
Yeah.
Right?
So I'm deeply honored to introduce you to my teacher, who we'll have on when we get back from break, which I'd say we're about ready to go to now. So, again, you're listening to Awaken Life on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
At the law offices of Richard D. Seward, we care about our clients. We offer important legal advice and services to help them grow their wealth and protect it. We manage the risks and help the financially distressed through the recovery process. We are committed and dedicated to helping people throughout Western Washington and beyond with our expertise in business, real estate, tax law, and debt relief. Find us at richardseward.com or call us at 360-876-6425. We care about you.
Growing up ain't much fun. Growing up out of school, out of love.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Awaken Life here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, as always, we want to connect with you. So if you... If you're enjoying the show and you want to connect with us, or if you'd like to learn more about the Silence Foundation, which is a nonprofit we've created to bring you Awaken Life and many, many other things, then you can go to my website, adamsewardcounseling.net. And there's information there, and there's also a contact page that you can use to get in touch with us. There's events going on around the community and lots of things that we want to help connect you with. One of the commitments of the Silence Foundation is to create awakened community. And so that means creating a place where people can come together to share in meditation, sometimes food and fellowship, just to strengthen this awareness in ourselves and in each other, and maybe to find your teacher, or, well, in a sense, to teach and to learn together this awareness, this consciousness, because ultimately that is, that's how it's strengthened in us, don't you think, Paul?
Yeah, that's absolutely it. And I would make the distinction that you're really finding someone who's earlier. Yeah. And earlier doesn't mean better or worse. Mm-hmm. It just means that in terms of experience,
sure,
they were there first.
Well, I think of it as like a plant that's blooming, you know. I mean, like some flowers bloom earlier than others.
That's it.
And, mm-hmm. and of course, they naturally fertilize and spread to the ones below them. But one thing the Course in Miracles also says is that the end of this journey is inevitable. Only the time that you take is voluntary.
Mm.
So one person who I just have to say has helped me along this path like none other is my beloved teacher, who we have here on the phone with us today. He's been counseling for a number of years. Obviously, if we met when I was 8 and I'm 30 now, it's been quite a while that I've known this person. But I fell in love with him right away, and he's been there every step of the way. And I'm so grateful to have him here with us. Greg, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, Adam, thank you. What a pleasure. I mean, I'm listening to your introduction. Thank you. And just seeing that little 8-year-old boy sitting across from me on that couch.
Yes.
And here we are talking on the radio.
Well, you know, it's funny because just last week, remember, I came into your office because I thought that I had met the equivalent of the young boy that you had met all those years ago. Remember? You yeah. met that 8-year-old, and then I came into your eye. I said, Greg, I think I've met my Adam.
My Adam.
Right.
Life has a funny way of doing circles, doesn't it?
It sure does. You know, we've been talking about, you know, how teachers, you know, help to facilitate that upward spiral of evolution as well. Just like you've helped me. And you've also, you know, Greg, my dad's also here.
Hi, Greg.
Oh, that's wonderful. this is great. So we both know this little boy from a place in our hearts, don't we?
We sure do. What a special kid, huh?
Boy, I'll tell you.
I'll tell you.
What an honor it's been.
Oh.
Certainly to have the opportunity of sort of teaching through Adam.
Yes.
What I most needed to learn myself.
Oh. That's how it works, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like two people come together and that one teacher just flows through for all of us. Like and you know, I know Dad, certainly the way Greg showed up for you in that way is still something that you remember.
Greg, I mentioned earlier in the show how you helped me become an adult. You transformed my life, and I can't thank you enough, Greg.
Well, thank you for that. I, you know, not everyone who walks into my office leaves my office feeling the way that both of you have been so respectful in sharing with me. So it really does say a lot more about you than it necessarily says about me. But thank you. Thank you, both of you.
Yeah, Greg, when I remember the counseling lasted about maybe eight weeks, maybe.
Yes.
And I remember when you told me that you were done. I mean, I was heartbroken.
You mean I can't come back?
Now, is that when I put on cap and gown?
I think that was it.
Yeah. It's so good. It's so good, the three of us and everyone else. I don't mean to exclude everybody else from this, but it's good. It's good to be sitting here with you.
Yes. Well, you know, it's, you know, we've been talking again, like I said, about teachers and you know, I've, one thing you've always said to me, Greg, is that, you know, that you're basically a reflection of me, right? So when I see you and I appreciate you and I maybe, you know, even pedestalize you, you've always been very clear that, well, thank you, but this is your reflection. And I feel like that's something that you've always been so consistent about teaching.
But I'm as consistent with that as I am consistent that 2 + 2 = 4. the truth is the truth. And that, you know, that you gather, Adam, that you've gathered whatever I put on the table, and you've done so quickly and so eloquently and in such an articulate way, has told me time and time and time again what an old soul you are, and how really I've served only to remind you of what you already know.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting in our culture. You know, we have, you know, like Paul was actually saying earlier, is that, you know, in the Western world, this sort of devotional practice sometimes. You know, we're a more individualized culture, so the way it shows up is different than the way it shows up maybe in the East. And so, you know, in the sense, we have these counselors or these people who are playing roles in the helping profession, whether they're a psychologist or like a certified counselor like you. It's just really interesting that this depth of awareness is showing up the way that it's showing up for people to access it. And I mean, I don't know if you've thought about that or if that's something that you're aware of too, but,
well, I think what you're saying, Adam, is very wise. It's very insightful. We have more and more. I'm seeing people so hungry to have something that resonates inside of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And in this information age, we're just barraged with so much data. But how much of that really resonates within us that we can own as our own versus something that's being sold to us, and we're just these detached participants in?
I remember, you know, when we met and, you know, all those years ago, and, you know, you said something very simple to me, but I heard it on a level that, you know, again, it resonated so deep. Here it is 20 some years later, you know, and I'm still talking about it. And it's as if, you know, that truth or that depth of truth is something that is really beyond the words that we're using. It's beyond sort of the information. However, the words are carrying it as well.
Yes, yes.
I've always heard that in your voice, in a sense.
And that, you know, I've said to you many times, if you feel it, if you feel it inside of you, that's what you need to take home with you. If you don't feel, no matter how profound anything I might say or another might say, if it doesn't resonate within you, leave it. Don't put it in your shopping cart. Certainly don't pay for it. Don't keep it at home.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, it feels like we're just sitting in your office. You know, it's just so great.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
And
sitting there on the couch, your dad's right over there in that big chair off to the right.
Yes,
you. Yes, sitting across from you. You bet.
When this young guy sat down in my office last week, and I looked at him, and I started talking, I just, you know, it was like I noticed that, you know, he's only 11. Yeah, 10 years old, going on 11. And yet, it was as if he was nodding his head in a way that sometimes 30, 40-year-old clients that I have come in and they don't quite get. You know, it's not resonating in the same way. And that, I think that was part of what led me to run over into your office and say, hey, this kid, you wouldn't believe this kid.
Yeah, I just saw the nod, Greg, you saw. It's that same, Adam, you're right. It's that same nod of acknowledgement that says, not only do I hear you, but I know that what you're saying is what I know too.
Yes.
Yeah, that big nod.
the big nod, the capital N nod. Greg, thank you. It's so great to have you here. We're going to talk more to Greg McBride when we come back from break. Greg's also the author of a book called Integrity's Insights, which outlines four principles of integrity. And so when we come back from break, we're going to hear more from him. Again, you're listening to Awaken Life on KKNW 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Is it whom I address? Who takes down what I confess? Are you the teachers of my heart? We teach old hearts to rest. All teachers are my lessons.
Are you upside down on your home loan and facing foreclosure? Washington's Foreclosure Fairness Act takes effect on July 13th and requires your mortgage holder to grant you a face-to-face meeting to negotiate modifications to your loan that may let you keep your house. More than 5,600 homes were seized in the first 3 months of this year in the state of Washington. Don't let this happen to you. Visit foreclosurefairness.net. That's foreclosurefairness.net, or call 206-818-9732, your home safety net.
We teach old hearts to rest. All teachers are my lessons done. I cannot do another one. They laughed and laughed and said, well, child, are your lessons done?
Hey, everybody, welcome back. This is Adam Stewart again. You're listening to Awaken Life. Well, this is probably one of the most special shows that we've done so far.
Absolutely.
I mean, for me to have the opportunity to talk to my teacher here, you know, with you, the listener, is just, my heart feels so, so full. And, I want to give you also a glimpse into Greg's work, because he's, he's really taken these four principles that are principles that I've, you know, of course, because he's my teacher, I've, you know, chosen to really have as foundational principles in my own life. And I don't know if we'll be able to get through all of it today. And my hope is that Greg will come back and we can talk more about this. Greg, would you mind just kind of giving the listeners a little glimpse into the, or kind of an introduction maybe into the into your four pillars that are really the meat of your book, Integrity's Insights?
Yes, Adam. Thank you. Thank you. These four principles actually came out of a psychology class that I was taking at Seattle University. In a course of abnormal psychology, and the professor we had, Father James Royce, he said to this class, I don't know, there were probably 120 of us in this auditorium. Mm. He flashed up from the screen what he introduced as the greatest psychology that one could ever understand, let alone live. And up flashed on this screen were the 12 steps. The 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, the 12 steps of Al-Anon, the 12 steps of any of these 12-step programs.
Mm-hmm.
And it intrigued me, and I started to really examine these 12 and started to really try to practice each one of these. And I bring this out because the fourth step, for those who may be familiar with the 12 steps, talks about making a searching and fearless moral inventory and really sort of examining the nuts and bolts of our principles. Mm. What do we stand for? What have we violated within ourselves that we're really needing to use this step as an opportunity, one, to identify, and secondly, to purge. And then the 10th step of the 12th step says that we continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And I had pretty clear insight about my moral deficiencies, and I wrote those readily. But when I hit that 10th step, I didn't quite know what am I inventorying against? I mean, What are my core principles now that I've sort of seen my moral defect? What do I want to stand for?
Mm-hmm.
And I answered that question, Adam, by coming up with four that I wanted to be representative of me at my eulogy, that whatever Greg McBride did, whether good or bad or right or wrong, he did it out of these four. And the four that I have lived or tried to live with, certainly from there, have been love, honesty, forgiveness of myself and of others, and gratitude. Love, honesty, forgiveness, and gratitude.
Mm.
And when whatever I've done is said has not been in line with one of those four, I mean, that includes driving southbound 405. That's when I need to say that I'm sorry, that I'm not right about having done something that isn't reflective of who I am.
Yeah. Would that involve a particular finger on either hand? Or?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, exactly. Flying down 405, you know, expressing myself.
Right.
And really saying to myself, I'm no better, I'm no worse than that person that I'm being the way that I'm being with. And to reinforce who I am by reinforcing who I'm not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And asking for forgiveness is simply that acknowledgement that of which I said or did isn't who I am, and who I am is the one who's asking forgiveness for that of which I'm not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
right? So mm-hmm. that word salad, I hope you understood. Sometimes people in my office say, Greg, would you repeat that? No, I won't. Because I can.
Yeah.
So these four characteristics have been the foundation of that framework of which I live by and ask forgiveness from.
Mm-hmm.
And that they are four characteristics that are for me, they are about me, and even though I'm talking to thousands of people, including you,
mm-hmm.
And they're no one else's business but my own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that I am loving is because I really don't have any other option. What other option do I have but to be loving? You know, nice doesn't sound very passionate. Fine sounds even less passionate.
Yeah.
But loving is dynamic.
Mm.
Loving says, I know you and love you as I am known and loved,
mm.
as I know and love myself, as God loves me.
Mm-hmm.
And that love that's expressed is a filler for what I can be being as I am doing unloading the dishwasher,
mm-hmm.
as I am doing watering my front yard. I'm going to do it anyway. Why not do it in the spirit of something that feels dynamic, fulfilling, and passionate?
I like that. If you're going to do it anyway, why not do it in the spirit of love, right? Being love, right?
Exactly. I don't know how to be watering the lawn.
Right.
And if I can segue from there into the second, and that's honesty.
Mm.
And it's not honesty in the sense, Adam, of, Adam, I just want to be honest with you that you're a jerk. it's an honesty that's different. It's an honesty that's about ownership. It's a revealing humbly and openly of all that I am, so that there's nothing that I'm hiding from. Mm. So that when you say, Greg, I love you, I know and trust that Adam, you know the you you're referring to,
mm.
and I can receive that love because I can know and trust I've hidden nothing from you,
mm-hmm.
and that you're really speaking to all of me and how I know me.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not honest and thoroughly honest, I can't trust another's love for me. All I can think to myself is, well, yeah, but if you really knew me, would you really, really love me? Would you really trust me? Would you really just fill in the blank?
Sure.
And honesty in that spirit of openness and revealing of oneself keeps me from the need to hide anything,
mm-hmm.
that I'm no different. I'm no different than you, that we're no different than the listener who's listening to this program, that we're all one, and mm. that we all have fears, and we all have low issues of low self-esteem, and we all do things we regret because our blood sugar's low. Why hide? Why hide from that when instead we can join with all of humanity?
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one is I've sort of already talked about, and
yeah.
that, you know, that's forgiveness,
right.
and to really have then those four, mm-hmm. and the love, honesty, forgiveness, and gratitude are my four,
mm-hmm.
but I encourage everyone in the audience to just think of four that you would like to have represent who you are.
Sure. And we talk a lot about awakening. Obviously, the show is Awaken Life, and you know the difference between states and stages, and knowing your God versus showing up as God consciously. Yeah. And I just really, part of what I appreciate about your principles, because one of the things we talk about here is, you know, growing up, but also showing up, right? Because there's a lot of people out there that are, you know, they're meditating and they're getting high and they're, you know, they're blasting into non-dual reality and oneness with the universe, et cetera. But it's like, well, what does that look like in your life, essentially? And it feels like, you know, the work that you're doing, Greg, and the work that you've inspired me, you know, to essentially walk in your footsteps for all these years, for 20 years since I was 8 years old, is really about taking that awakened consciousness or that God consciousness and finding a way for it to be expressed in your life. And it feels like that's really what the four principles are about for you.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right on target. You know, we can do these things, or we can be who we are, mm-hmm. out of which these things are expressive of.
Yes.
But we've got to start somewhere. You know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. And you know, knowing who you are, of course, is step one to expressing who you are. So. We're about to run out of time. Greg, I'll tell you what, your presence here today has sure been a gift to each of us. I think I can easily practice that fourth principle of gratitude with relationship to that. So,
yes, yeah. Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
And I just want, I want to tell the listener too, if you want to connect, it's gtmcbride.com. Is that's your website, Greg?
It's gm2726.
No, that's your email. I'm talking about your website.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Right. GTMcBride.com.
You bet.
Love you, Greg.
I love you, and thank you for the honor of this. This has been wonderful.
See you next week, everybody. Bye.